Good to be in the house of God. There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of crazy things happening in life, but I feel like if I can just get to the house of God, there's some sanity left in life, and it's good to see you this morning. Ephesians 6, I'm going to read just a few verses here, very well-known verses, and I want to talk to you about actually one word that we'll find here in our verses this morning. I am going to ask in a few moments that you'll turn with me. We're actually going to go to the book of Genesis, and we're going to go to the book of Revelation in a few moments, and we're going to hit everything in between. How about that? But we'll do it quickly here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, if you would follow with me as I read aloud. In verse number 10, it starts off with finally. So there's a lot of things that have been said prior to this verse that we're not going to look at this morning, but Paul says finally. He kind of comes to a conclusion. He's starting to wind the book down here as Paul is writing. He says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, so he's talking about saved people here, be strong in the Lord. And that's important this morning, that in the evil day that we live in, we need to be strong in the Lord. And it's important that we're strong in the Lord here. And he goes on and continues and says, and in the power of His might. You want to be successful, survive life, if you would, come out on the victory side, you're going to do that not in your power, but in the power of God. And that's how we're going to be successful in our Christian life from day to day, is through the power of God. And that's about the only thing going to carry us through this world we live in, is the power of God. And I'm glad this morning that God's power is greater than any problem that we may face in this life this morning. You see, there's not a problem in life that God does not have the answer for and that God cannot solve. So Paul says, finally, verse number 10, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse number 11 tells us, put on the whole armor of God. And then he goes on to tell you why you need to put on the armor of God. And there's a description of the armor of God. It's for the believer, for the Christian, and only for the believer. And it explains the different parts of the armor and what it covers and what its purpose is. We're not going to go into that this morning. But we find here in verse number 11 that he says, put on the whole armor of God. And he tells you why. That every day you need this armor of God. He says in verse number 11 that ye, all right, the word ye, you can put your name right there. It is personally to you this morning that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Won't you underline the word wiles? That's what we're going to look at this morning. It's not wild, it's wiles. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. Verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And here's what we're going to wrestle against every day of your life. He goes into a long description of kind of drawing a picture to you of what you're going to face every day of your life as a believer in Christ. But let's not forget that we have the power of God that we can work in, as we began reading in verse number 10. And we have strength that we can find in verse number 10. It comes from the Lord. We have this armor that's given to us beginning in verse number 11. But look at verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is why you're going to need the armor. This is why you're going to need the power of God and the power and the might of God. Because we're going to wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, verse number 12 can be a little bit discouraging. If we were to preach on verse 12 and describe a little bit about all the powers that be in this world and the evilness in our day, it looks pretty dark and it's pretty discouraging. But I want to remind you this morning that God has power over everything in verse number 12. And boy, I'm glad of that. Verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The word whole there means don't leave off any of it. Don't wear just parts of it. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and have done all to stand. We can describe a little bit about the evil day, but I believe this morning we're in the evil day. There's some in this room this morning, you're in the heat of the battle. I was just kind of my mind was going through a little bit of the prayer request. I don't think we kind of comprehend how many people in this very room this morning's had some difficult weeks, that's had struggles. And their struggles haven't ended this morning. They're still battling difficulties, worries, trials, testings, prayer requests that are given this morning. There's others in this room that maybe didn't share some of the needs that they have maybe publicly in their life this morning. But in our very midst this morning, there's a whole lot of people that is facing the evil day right now. To be honest with you, there's not a person in here that's not in that day. But I want to go back. I want to go back to this wiles of the devil. You see, this morning, that's one of the keys of us surviving. And I don't like to use the word survive. I want to do more than survive. I want to thrive in the Christian life. Boy, how you can have victory in life. But you've got to understand a little bit about our enemy this morning. And he uses the wiles of the devil. Now, what in the world is the wiles of the devil? Well, the word wiles there is an interesting word, and we'll get to it in just a few moments. It's the tricks of the devil. You see, the devil, he's a trickster this morning. You ever been tricked in life? I've been tricked a lot in life. But there's not a greater master of giving tricks than the devil. The word wiles there, it means a trap, a snare, if you would. And the devil is going to put traps and snares in your life. Some have already encountered some of those traps and snares this past week. You know, I'm amazed in the day and age that we live in how so many people live a life of entrapment to the devil this morning because they fell prey to that trap or that snare that maybe the devil set in their life, and they found themselves right in the middle of that trap, and boy, the devil pulled the noose on them a little bit, and he pulled that snare on their life, and he has them entrapped this morning. There's even sometimes God's people get caught up in some of the traps the devil puts out in life. And so many people fall for the lies of the devil. And Satan's goal this morning is to trick every single one that's in this room this morning and to bind you this morning. Do you realize this morning the devil is very active? He's active this morning in many lives this morning. In fact, there's not a person in this room. If you're a child of God this morning, there's not a person in this room this morning that the devil does not have a trap set just for you. He knows your pattern. He knows your life. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strong points. He knows the path that you're going to take in life. And boy, he's going to try to set a trap and a trick or a device or a snare in your life. And he's going to do all that he can. And the devil hopes that you step right into his trap this morning. This morning, I'm going to use Caleb and Josh. You two guys have come here this morning, and you didn't know that you were going to be in the spotlight this morning. You did not know of the opportunity that God was going to have for you this morning in your own life this morning. Come here, Josh. I'll use you first. Here is a piece of thread. You can't even probably see it from here, but you can tell I have a spool of thread. Thank you, Miss Vicky. She helped me out this morning. Josh, do you think you can break that? If you can't break that, you're not playing for me this week. All right. So you take this. All right. See this? Just see. Can you pull that apart? Whoa, man! Is he not strong? Well, let me ask you something, Josh. Can a piece of thread bind you? You think so? You don't think you can break a piece of thread? All right, come here, Caleb. You're going to be the good guy. You're going to love this. Put your hands out like this and let him wrap that thread around your wrist a little bit. Just keep on winding it. Do not stop. But don't get it too hard. Don't get it too tight. Cut the circulation off in his arm. Now, I know you'd like to do that, but don't do that. Now, you know the illustration of what's going to happen here. You know as well as I do, if he keeps wrapping and wrapping and wrapping this, don't mess the illustration up here now, Caleb. You keep it going here. You're in the spotlight. Don't be nervous. Everybody's watching, but don't let that bother you, okay? Now, you know this morning, if he keeps wrapping this thread, Josh is not going to be able to break it. Now, You saw him just a moment ago. He took the threat. He didn't have any problem breaking it. But here's what happens in life. The devil is going to take, he's going to lie to you over and over and over. Now, don't mess it up. Keep going. Now, he's getting kind of tight. His hand's turning purple there, Caleb. Be careful, all right? Keep going. It's going to be fun. We're going to just leave him be here in a moment. It's going to be funny, all right? This is how the devil works. You see, one lie usually is okay. We can kind of conquer a lie, but here's where we fall prey as believers. He keeps telling you so many lies and confusing and giving you confusing situations in life, and he wraps it like a weave. I mean, he keeps over and over. And you know, the old saying, you know, Hitler did this. You tell somebody a lie long enough, they'll start believing it. Let me tell you why there's a lot of believers this morning that are not in the will of God for their life, because they allow the devil to lie to them and to lie to them and to connive over and over and over. I need to stop there. We're not even. I'll just stop there. I can see if he can break it. Whoa. Now he can't break it. Let me tell you why. Because it was weaved over and over. You can go back there and figure out how you're going to get out of that. Y'all can go have a seat right there. Just let Josh have it. There you go. It's all right. That's how Satan works. Over and over and over. Do you know this morning the devil is a liar? We'll look at that here in just a moment here. But this is how Satan works in our lives. He feeds us one lie after another lie after another lie after another lie. And he serves it to you so much in life. If you're not careful, sooner or later, if you're not careful, you'll start believing his lies. I want to reassure to everybody here this morning, especially those that may be struggling in life and wondering, does God really care? God does care this morning. But there's these wiles of the devil. And he's already got something set for you today. He's got a trick designed just for you, because he thinks, you know what? I think he'll fall for it. The wiles of the devil, the tricks, the snares, the traps that he has set in our life. And sometimes they become so overwhelming, and sometimes you feel like you just can't get out of it. But you have to realize that the devil, he's going to use schemes and tricks and snares and lies and over and over and over. He's going to use all these traps to try to entrap every single person that's in this room this very day. You're not exempt this morning. I hate to tell you, but just because you're a child of God doesn't mean the devil doesn't come after you. I mean, I don't want to discourage you this morning, but the devil knows you're in church this morning. I've often said the devil, he's got perfect attendance at church. He wants to know who shows up. He looks around and he knows that, man, you came to church. He was kind of hoping you'd fall for the trap and not come to church this morning. Have you ever faced traps just trying to get to church on Sunday morning? I've often said in raising 3 children, we can always find every pair of shoes all week long, but when it comes to Sunday morning, there's always one that we cannot find. And we lie, yeah, it's kind of funny, it's kind of true. You look back over life, yeah, man, sometimes it's hard just to find, you know, you can't find a belt, or the shirt has a stain on it, or whatever. You know what that is? That is a trick of the devil just to try to get you to stay home. The wiles of the devil. I want to talk to you a little bit about verse number 11 here. And we're told here we need to put on this armor of God, and that's not our message this morning, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, this morning you better have on the armor of God, and you better have the power of God in your life, because the devil is going to try to entrap you every day, every week of your life. He's going to design something just to try to ensnare you in life. So I want to list a few this morning. I was jotting down some thoughts as I was driving to Lexington the other day about some thoughts or some snares that the devil will use in your life. And I want to give you the first one here. The first one I'd like to share with you is the snare of debate in life. I always try to feel out maybe what God is doing in my life from week to week and so forth. But I thought about this the other day. You know, Satan will always try to engage us in conversations in life that is a loaded conversation. So you say, well, what do you mean? For instance, you may discuss something with somebody and they'll say, yeah, but, you know, the word if, or what if, or what about? For instance, coaching with the teenage boys, Brother Yando and Brother Bradley, you guys work with them every single day of your life, and God help you. I think some of the most smartest people on planet Earth are teenagers. Either that, or I'm getting old and I just don't catch on, or I'm just a little slow and don't comment there, Josh and Caleb. I understand. I remember this past week, it doesn't matter what you tell a group of guys, they're always going to say, well, what if? Well, what about, you know, this? It's funny, the other day, I'll use this as an illustration. Brother Richardson came over and he talked to the boys the other day, and he just basically told them, now, when we go on ball trips, he said, I want all you guys to dress in school attire. School attire is going to be a collared shirt. Oh, Lord, the life just ended. It is the end of the world. We have to wear a collared shirt. Now, it don't matter where in life, and adults are just as guilty as teenagers and children sometimes, no matter where we draw the line as far as a rule, everybody's going to want to push that line. I am not kidding, Brother Yandel. My phone rings. It's a parent debating school attire. I am not joking. I don't know if they look at me and he's just vulnerable or what. They probably don't ever call you, Brother Yandel, but I have a parent call me. Well, what if so-and-so? I said, school attire. Well, what about it's school attire? What's so difficult about school attire? And then here's the next question. What if, can they wear a hoodie? I'm talking about an adult. Can we wear a hoodie? I said, well, I said, can you wear them to school? Yeah, we can wear them to school. I said, then I guess it's okay. But I didn't realize it was a trick. Because under the hoodie, you don't have to have a collared shirt because nobody can see it. So I had to back up a little bit and talk to the person again and say, well, you know, you just need to wear school attire all the time. And here's what I'm getting at. And it's not just that. That's just one illustration of many. Isn't it amazing? No matter where authority puts the line, we always want to push it. Does anybody know what the speed limit is on Highway 41? Anybody want to take a shot? What do you think it is? 75. There you go. How much is it? Is it 55? That's a suggestion. I think it ought to be about 75. Isn't it amazing if they make it 55? You ever felt this way? I was coming home last night, and we were pushed, we were late and so forth. Speed limit is such and such. And my wife said, just put it on cruise control. And I put it on, I think it was about 80. And I think my wife told me, you know, what's the cruise control set on? And I felt bad, so I backed it down a little bit. Isn't it amazing if they make it 80? You know what I'd probably want to drive, Brother Dwayne? 90. If they made it 100, I'd want to go 110. That's the way we are a lot in Christian life. No matter where God draws the line, we always want to try to push it a little further. And if we're not careful, often the devil will use that in our life to create a problem with authority. And if we're not careful, sometimes it can be a snare of the devil in our life because Satan loves debate in life solely for the pleasure of disagreement because the devil wants to get you in a situation where you disagree. It may be with the pastor. It may be disagreement with the church. He wants to create a disagreement between you and your wife or you and your husband or with you and your children or with you and whoever it may be because the devil always uses disagreement as a snare to entrap you. Always. You see, Satan will use debate and disagreement as a tool to use against the Word of God. It all began back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And I don't have time to go there this morning, but in Genesis chapter number 3, you have Adam and Eve. And God said that there's one fruit of the tree, or the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden, thou shall not eat. The devil comes along. You know what he says? God didn't say that. You know, when God says, thou shalt not, you better not. The opposite of thou shalt not is thou shalt may. Am I right? And the devil twisted it to the point where she takes of that fruit and she does eat of that fruit. And we are suffering today because of that one decision. It's a trap. We have the snare of division. The devil, his ultimate goal is always trying to cause division. Our sin nature will cause us to rebel in life and even against authority in life. Do you know why in the United States of America that we have police officers gunned down on the street? It's because of division. We've got all different groups today. Black Lives Matter. Blue lives matter. Unborn lives matter. I mean, it's all these different groups that have come out and they all claim that this group lives matter. Good night. Everybody's life matters. But what does the devil do? The devil steps in even as a nation and causes division. This group against this group and this group against that group. And all this division in a nation, hey, if a nation is divided into all these different groups and this group against that group, hey, a nation will crumble under that. It's a trick of the devil. Division will destroy a church. Division will destroy. You've got you've got moms and dads raising families, and divisions that occur there. Divisions have destroyed many people. Division has destroyed many marriages. It's destroyed many families. It's destroyed many churches. Hey, and it is a trap. It's a tool of the devil. It's that wiles of the devil, and there are many. You see, this morning, we have to understand and realize the real enemy this morning is the devil himself. Go to Revelation chapter 12. If you would, this is interesting. Go to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read a verse here. You're kind of familiar with it. But in Revelation chapter number 12, you'll find something very interesting. And I have to remind myself of this verse often in life because my flesh will go a different direction in life. But in Revelation chapter 12, you'll find in verse number 10 something very interesting. I'll read it aloud to you. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down when accused, which accused them before our God day and night. Do you know the devil is an accuser this morning? Now, I looked up the word accuser this morning in the dictionary. It says this. It has twofold meaning. It means to blame and it means to bring charges against. Do you understand and realize the devil is going to lie about you every single day? Now, who's he going to lie to? Well, he's going to lie to God. Now, we know this morning that it's not going to work with God. But here's where it does work. It works among God's people. You're not going to believe this about Brother Dwayne. You know what the devil will do to me? He will accuse him of something that's not even true to me. And I've got to decide, am I going to listen and believe what the devil is saying about him? You see, this morning, the devil will use accusations. He is a, the Bible says in verse number 10 of Revelation chapter 12 that he is an accuser of the what? Say it again, the what? The brethren. You know who the brethren is? It's you. It's us. It's we. I didn't say that right, did I, Brother Ann?
The accuser of the brethren. He's going to accuse Brother Jay. You know what I'm going to say about Brother Jay? Anything he can, whether it's truthful, half-truths, or lies, it doesn't matter. He wants to create a problem in my mind about him. So therefore, he's going to accuse Brother Jay through me, and I've got to decide, am I going to believe what he says? He's an accuser. You mean to tell you what that is? It's a trap. Now, we're so naive sometimes, and we'll say, well, you know, may not have all been true, but part of it was true. We've got problems already. Where did it all start with? It all started with the devil lying about somebody else. And it's not just Brother Jay and Brother Dwayne that he's going to lie about. He's going to lie about you. And he's going to try to get everybody in this room to believe every little lie, every little accuser that he comes up with, and he'll use you, he'll use me, he'll use someone else. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to create division. How many churches are falling by the wayside today because the devil accused somebody and everybody believes everything the devil says? We have to be careful. Satan used lies about everyone every day, and he does this every single day of life. And every now and then, you know, he'll come by and he'll say something negative about Brother Jay. And I don't know how anybody can say anything negative about him. I would say Brother Jay may be one of the greatest men alive today. You're not going to amen that? All right. She didn't even amen to that, Brother Jay. See, he's causing division right now. And, you know, he says something, you know, I said, I don't believe that about Brother Jay. Lo and behold, here comes another one about him. It's like the string being tied around Josh's arm. Does it over. He does it over and over and over. After a while, he's like, you know, I'm not too sure about Brother Jay anymore. You know what's happened to me? I have fallen prey to the accuser of the brethren. And he's accusing you. He's accusing me. And I'm not saying sometimes that the gossip, the spread, sometimes it may be true, because we all have sinned this morning. We all are sinners this morning. We all fail. We all do wrong. We all stumble. We all choose to do wrong. But we've got to be careful that we don't allow the devil to come along and just make it even worse by accusing the brethren over and over and over and over. I've got news for you this morning. Hey, dear friend, this is our group. This is our family this morning. As a child of God, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, it shouldn't surprise you when somebody makes a mistake. We've all made mistakes in life. But it's a trap. It's the wiles of the devil. Boy, we could preach for weeks just on the wiles of the devil. The traps. The snares that he puts into place in a person's life. He uses the snare of doubt in life. You know, if the devil can get you to doubt, he is well on his way of getting you to yield to his temptation. Doubt. He will get you to doubt God's word. He'll get you to doubt the message of God. He'll get you to doubt your brothers and sisters in Christ. He'll get you to doubt the truth that God may give you through his word. And, you know, you got to be careful. You know, sometimes people say, well, what do you believe about such and such? You know what? It really doesn't matter what I believe. You see, the only thing that matters this morning is, what does God say? You know one thing about God? You don't have to worry about what does God believe. God tells you what he is. You be careful that you don't sometimes interpret a verse. You know, I've always found it to be true. Everybody will say, well, what do you believe about such and such? I had somebody just ask me the other day a Bible question. You know, what do you believe about such and such? And I'll give this, and they'll say, well, you know, I believe it to mean this. And it's always in favor of how they live their life. Be careful that we don't twist the interpretation of God's word to support the way we want to live. Doesn't matter how we want to live. We need to make sure that we understand that there is times in God's word where he says, thou shalt not. There's times when God says, thou shalt. And you better know the difference between thou shalt not and thou shalt. There's a yes and there's a no. And we've got to make sure that we don't fall prey to this trap that the devil will set in our life to try to get us to the point where we start doubting God and doubting God's word this morning. And it's very, very easy to get in that place, dear friend. Don't tell me this morning that it's not easy to doubt. It's easy to doubt. You take just in our very room this morning, and by Miss Crowley, it's not easy living life with someone you love very dearly and watch them deteriorate. Physical problems. Physical difficulties. And I don't mean to point you out. But my mind thought, I know what it's like. For me, it's my mom, watching my mom die of cancer. Some of the darkest days of my life is watching a loved one struggle physically. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's easy for the devil to step in and say, does God really love you? And I'm not going to lie to you this morning. There's been times in my life where I've kind of wondered sometimes myself. She's not the only one in this room. You take Megan back here. You think it's fair for her to sit in a wheelchair with a broken foot, broken leg, surgery, recovery, physical therapy, pain, agony? You can't tell me that sometimes it hasn't entered her mom and her dad's mind, why did this have to happen? Now, we all will say it's all in the plan of God. Isn't it easy for us to go to the hospital and tell her it's a plan of God? I'm going to be honest with you, it's easy for me to say, but you try sitting in her shoes tonight, or her seat today. She's been a very good warrior about this thing. A good example for all of us. You tell me that's fair? You know what the devil tries to tell me? That is not fair. You tell me how it's fair when a drunk driver runs over somebody and kills an 18-year-old boy. The boy dies and the drunkard is alive and well today. You don't tell me that the devil can't use doubt. Brother Dwayne, you got an appointment this week to go to the doctor, am I correct? He doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. He's just not feeling good and needs to go to the doctor and get checked out. I don't know about you. I'd like to say that I'm a great person of faith, but I would be afraid of what the doctor would tell me. That's why I don't go. Am I right? You see, this morning, the devil's very active. He's very active in her life this morning. Very active in this man's life this morning. And he's very active in your life as well. Brother Darrell's not here today. His seat's right there. He's not even here. He says right here. Complications, and he's had so many complications over the past 2 years. It's easy to go to church. Got a prayer request. Pray for Brother Darrell. And we all walk out. We'll go eat lunch and laugh and have a great day. And I'm not saying we should be a discouraged people. I'm just trying to say this morning that if we're not careful, there are some snares out there that can destroy a lot of good people. You see, none of these people that I've used, and forgive me for using you as an illustration this morning, but you are people this morning that are very, very, it could be very easy for you to fall for that trap. Very easy. There's people in this room that hadn't been here in 10 years because somewhere along life's path, they fell for that trap. or they fell into that trap, or they got into that snare of the devil, or that wiles of the devil, whatever the devil used. And today they're in bondage to it. Well, I'm glad to see people here this morning that I know they're going through it like nobody else in this room, and they're still going for God. I'm glad to see people here this morning that I know for a fact that the traps have been there in life and the wiles have been used by the devil in your life. But you're still here this morning. You're still going for God. And I want to say this morning, you keep going for God. You're an encouragement to me. You know, even preachers need encouragement. I think it encourages our pastor to know that you still love God and you haven't fallen for the wiles of the devil. You'll find that the devil uses many, many things in life. If you have your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians. I'll stop here. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. If I can find it, I'll go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's one verse here that I use a lot. Look at it and try to use it as a principle of life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's an interesting verse. Verse number 12 says, abstain. Now, what the word abstain means to stay away from. Am I right? Bible tells me to abstain from the what? The what of evil? The appearance of evil. Now, we ought to stay away from evil, but we go a step further here that we ought to stay away from. If he even looks wrong, stay away from it. Here's what I want to tie this into real quickly this morning. For you that are in the valleys of life, and I don't really like to use that, but for you this morning, and it could be your husband is not physically well this morning. It could be a church member that is home this morning with physical struggles and pain and problems in life. Or it may be one of our young ladies of our church that sits in a wheelchair because of a car accident this morning. You don't fall for the trick of the devil trying to get you to doubt God's word this morning. Man, if it even looks like it's an appearance of something wrong, you stay away from it. But it could be somebody else this week, and I'm done. I wonder who it's going to be this week. That trap is out there. And that snare's there. It's lying right there in the path of life. I wonder this week, is there anybody going to step in that trap? Now, don't say it won't ever happen to me. Peter was the one we use as an example there. Don't ever say it'll never happen to me. Well, you'll make the devil real happy today if you say that. You know what the devil will say to you? Oh, okay. Let's see how it all pans out this week. You see, it's obvious the devil's working overtime. There's other people in this room this morning, you just haven't shared some of the difficulties of life you've been through this week. But you got to be careful. I have to be careful. It'd be easy to be in somebody's shoes like this and say, I quit. I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of the battle. I just give up. I just want to quit. I just want to go home. I want to shut the door to life. And I just want to be alone. You ever been there? There's some in this room this morning. Your greatest battle may be depression this week. You know where depression comes from? It's because you get disappointed in how life works out. You ever been disappointed in how life's working out? I find myself there often in life. Man, we could just share this morning problems you may have in life, and we'd be here to midnight and not even touch the surface. We all have problems.
But I always find it to be very true in life. The problems that I have, and I look around sometimes in life, and I think my problems aren't half what somebody else's problems are. Several weeks ago, I went to see Ryan play baseball. And we were, I can't remember where we were at, and on the other team, they had a man that helped with that team, and he was this tall. Had one arm, and he didn't even have legs. He had two little stubs. And that boy would go out there and throw with those other guys. He could throw with one arm. He'd have his glove stuck under his arm, and he would throw with it like this, and he could throw pretty far, and then he could drop that glove on the ground and put his hand in it and be right back up ready to catch the ball. And when he walked, he kind of walked like this, and I'm not trying to be ugly, I promise. But you see something like that in life, and you realize real quick, you don't have problems in life. Your bill you're having trouble paying is not a problem. You just think it's a problem. Behind on your car payments, you think it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. But you've listened to the devil long enough, and it's like that string that went around Josh's hands. He's just winding it, and he winds it, and he winds it, and he winds it, and he winds it to the point where if you're not careful, you'll be in bondage to him. You can't tell me that Megan can't be a little upset. It's okay to be upset. I'm sure she shed a tear or two. I'm sure Mom has shed a tear or two. There's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that's wrong is when we say, I'm going to allow this to stop me. And I'm going to quit. Oh, quitting is the worst thing you could ever do. To be honest with you, the only thing that ever helped me through life was my mom. I know what it's like to have to go to help my mom, who couldn't even walk. And I didn't know if I could make it. And the only reason I'm here today is because of the grace of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter how dark your day may be, and I don't care what trap the devil has put in your path, and you may have stepped inside that trap, and it may have sprung on you today. But don't give up. Because God's grace is going to carry you through. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I'll stop. My time's out.